Hello, and welcome back to the Self-Taught Artist Podcast. I'm Lauren Christine, your host. Welcome back to another exciting episode where we are going to be talking about watercolors. I talked about watercolors 2 weeks ago on the podcast, and I got a lot of great feedback from watercolor artists that want to hear more. And I made a promise at the end of that episode that I was going to report back with the step-by-step of how to make your own watercolor pans. And that's what I'm going to do today. I'm also going to talk about choosing watercolor colors and some other helpful tips, online resources, and ways that you can try out a bunch of different colors. Economically, which is what we all want. Awesome. But of course, we are going to start today with the review of the week. And normally, I read these reviews in order, or at least I try to, of when I receive them. But this one specifically talked about the watercolor episode 2 weeks ago. So I wanted to read it, even though it's brand new. So this one is titled, "So Helpful to Self-Taught Artists." This one comes to us from LS, and it says Encinitas, which I hope means that you live in Encinitas because, ooh, it is such a beautiful part of California. Love it. I actually went there last year for my birthday, and it was so beautiful. Awesome. Okay, so her review says, "I've been listening to Lauren Christine's podcast, and she has some really great advice for new artists. I really enjoyed her last episode on watercolor paints. I never really knew the advantage of tube versus pan watercolor paint until this podcast. Thanks for helping to educate us novices." Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you for taking the time to leave a review. It really does make a huge difference, and it helps to tell the algorithms, yes, this is a great podcast, and it helps to recommend it to other artists out there. So thank you so much for that. And today I'm going a step further on the watercolor pan versus tube know-how. And this is really a personal thing for me because I looked online everywhere to try and figure out how to make watercolor pans. Now, I know it's not that complicated, but I still knew there was probably a better way to do it than just me stumbling around in the dark. And I thought I had a great method until I actually was doing more research for this episode and I found a new method, a simple change, but I think it's made a big difference. So I'm sharing that today. So let's see. But before I get into it, I also have to remind everybody, please take a second, rate the podcast 5 stars on Spotify. Leave me a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts if you're listening on there. I would really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. And then also hit the follow button. There's a follow button on Spotify and there's a plus button on Apple Podcasts, and that will help you to never miss an episode. Make sure you're following the show. All right. Let's talk about choosing watercolor colors because it is such a challenge. I don't care if you're a new artist, an intermediate artist, or an advanced artist. Choosing watercolor colors is so hard because there are so many choices and there's a lot of nuance to watercolor paint, whether it has granulating features, for example, or whether it is matte or opaque or more transparent or shimmery and iridescent or duochrome, which means it has two different sheens based on how the light is hitting. There are so many options, more options than there are in acrylic paint. And frankly, it can be extremely overwhelming. Even if you go to art stores, it's not like they have testers sitting there of every color for you to try. And they don't have swatch cards either of the real paint. And with watercolor, it's not so simple as just looking at a color and saying, I like that color. There's a lot of nuance to a watercolor paint. And that's what makes watercolor so beautiful, but also it makes it really hard to pick colors. So I was actually doing it online, and I don't think it's any easier or harder online, but I do think what is going to make a difference is doing a lot of research. I remember doing my online shopping, trying to pick colors, and just feeling so overwhelmed because even though at that point I knew that I was really wanting to buy more Daniel Smith watercolor specifically, that didn't even narrow it down because they have over 250 different color options, and each one has its own unique hue and promise. The absence of physical testers obviously only heightened my uncertainty, and it was just really hard to figure out which colors would best suit my artistic endeavors and best suit the palette that I had already created, because I already had some colors. I was just adding some new ones. It's during these moments when, let me tell you, this next resource is invaluable. Because I will say online color swatches and a fellow artist's recommendations really saved the day for me and helped to guide me through the maze of choices and just helped me make selections that really enhanced my watercolor palette. Now, the resource that I'm talking about in particular is by an artist named Jane Blundell. She is a watercolor artist, and she is an absolute angel because she has swatches of a bunch of different major artist grade watercolors on her website. And they are swatched color by color in the same lighting and the same kind of environment so that you can compare them. And I cannot recommend this highly enough. You have to check it out if you are shopping for watercolor paint now or in the future, or just building your wish list. So you'll find this linked in my show notes, but it is janeblundellart.blogspot.com. So she has swatches of pretty much the entire Daniel Smith line, the entire Sennelier line, all of Winsor & Newton, Schmincke, Holbein, White Knights. She has just a wealth of swatches on her website. And all of those, I'd say those are pretty much all the major brands of professional artist grade watercolors that are out there. I mean, Jane is an absolute saint for all of the resources she put on her website. And I don't know if she had them donated to her or if she actually spent the money to buy them all, but whew, holy moly, there are a lot of different colors. Her swatches and descriptions of some of the colors really helped me a ton when picking colors to buy for my palette. She talks about her favorite colors and also gives additional perspective of an artist on many of the colors out there. Now, the manufacturers have websites that are also very helpful. But I like Jane because she sometimes compares, for example, reds across different watercolor brands. So she'll explain one brand versus another, and that's really helpful. But also it's just a non-biased source, and she just helps give me a little bit more information. Because obviously if I go to Daniel Smith's website, they're going to say every color they have is amazing. And yeah, they are all amazing in their own way. But going to just an individual and her perspective helped to give me just another piece of context, another perspective to consider. She also gives some information, I think, too, about which colors will look good if you mix them with other colors. And that can also be really helpful if you're trying to make a custom palette and mix a bunch of colors. So, you know, I really fell in love with Daniel Smith watercolors, and Jane's swatches really helped me a ton. Now, Daniel Smith and some other brands also sell what is called a dot card. And that is a series of papers, or one big paper with little dots of different colors. Now, Daniel Smith actually will sell a dot card for the entire line, where you buy multiple pages and every single color, or pretty much all of them, are dotted on that page, and you can create a little journal and swatch every single color that they make. So this allows you to test it and see which colors are your favorites in real life. And I think that is a super cool idea. I have actually never done this. I guess I'm just impatient, so I jumped right into the deep end and ordered some colors and just kind of went from there. But you know, they're not terribly expensive. I'm looking right now to try and get a price for you. Let's see. So, I'm not really finding it. Oh, here we go. So, okay, Daniel Smith sells some mini packs, I see. And they'll just sell like some popular colors in certain sets. And they have another set where they have like all 230 plus of their colors. I don't know. I don't want to quote a price and get it wrong. So if you're interested in that, just go Google it and you can find it, or go to your local art store and see if they carry it. But another option, if you want to try a few colors, but you're not yet ready to commit to buying an entire tube, which would be 5 or 15 milliliters, is this pro tip that there are people out there that sell what's called a quarter pan, and they do it on Etsy, is one marketplace where I've seen this done quite a bit. So on Etsy, just go ahead and type in like whatever brand you're interested in, and then type like tester pan or quarter pan and see what you find. I know personally there's a ton of different options for Daniel Smith, and what it is it's a pan that's, as it sounds, it's a quarter pan. So it's half the size of a half pan. And then I think there's even eighth pans, so an even smaller little sample. And these are more than just a dot card, because a dot card you really can't paint with. It'll just sort of give you enough to swatch, and that's about it. But a quarter pan gives you a nice amount of paint that you can actually paint with and try and sample and see which colors are your favorites. So I guess there are artists out there that will buy a tube for themselves and then sell the rest via these little tester palettes or tester pans or quarter pans. So I think this is a great way to try some before you invest in a full tube. And normally they're just a few dollars, like maybe $250, $350, something like that. Even if you aren't interested in buying a full tube and you just want to have a bunch of different colors, this can be a good way to do it economically. Yeah. I would say, however you like experiencing color, this can be a good method to let you do it. Some people really like to swatch. Some people like me just jump right in and get a color and see how they work with it. But this is just another option that I didn't know was out there for a long time, and you may not know is out there. So check that out on Etsy if you're interested. All right. Now, finally, Let me talk you through my process to make my own pan watercolors from tube watercolors. As I've mentioned, creating your own pan watercolors from tube paints is a fantastic way to customize your palette, and it also lets you create your own little custom mixtures. And this is my newly improved process for creating pans. So let's go step by step on how to do it. Step one, first, gather your supplies. You're going to need a few different materials, including the tube watercolor that you want to convert into a pan. You're going to need an empty watercolor pan. You'll need something to stir the paint with while it's wet. So this could be a mini palette knife. It could be a plastic coffee stirrer. It could be even a paper clip that you sort of unbend so that there's a straight metal part. And actually, I hate to admit it, but that's what I use, is just a paper clip. I keep most of it bent, but I just unbend the one longest arm, and that gives me just enough to stir, but I still have something to hold with. But I've also used a Panera or Starbucks like coffee stirrer, like one of those plastic ones that you use to plug the top of a to-go lid. That can be really good to use as well. I have used that quite a bit. But essentially, you need something to stir with, and it needs to be plastic or metal so that you can wipe it clean in between colors, and those will make it a lot easier to clean. Okay, next, you're going to need a pipette or small water dropper. You'll need a cup of water that is clean water that you can pull from to use with your pipette. And you're going to need paper towels and probably some sort of bucket or a sink nearby to clean off your tool, your mixing tool. And lastly, you're going to need a water spray bottle, just plain water. So take a minute, go gather those things, pause this if you need to. But step two is to prepare your work area. As with most things in art and paint and pigments, you are going to need a clean and organized workspace. So lay down some paper or paper towels to catch any accidental spills or excess paint if you're not working on a wipeable surface. The other thing you're going to need is a safe area in your workspace to put your pans once you are done with them, because you are going to need to leave them out to dry and leave them for 24, 48 hours or more. Okay. So, and you're going to need them undisturbed. All right. Step three. Well, I guess you're going to need an additional material for this that I forgot to mention. You're going to need a small, fine tip Sharpie marker, or ultra fine tip, just a permanent marker, because step three is to label your pan. You need to label the pan with the brand and color name or color number for easy reference. Because I promise you, time will pass and you might forget exactly what paint is in that pan. And that is the most frustrating thing. Don't let that happen to you. Get a Sharpie and label it now, immediately before you put the paint in. Because otherwise, it just becomes a guessing game later. And trust me, you do not need that headache. I am speaking from experience. All right, finally, we get to the fun part. Step four is to squeeze out the watercolor paint. So squeeze out a small amount of the tube watercolor paint into your empty half pan or your full pan. And when I do this, I actually work with it not in the palette. Like, I go ahead and pull it out of the palette, and I go ahead and just use it on its own, and I hold it, and I just do this all kind of in my hand as I'm holding it. Now, when you're squeezing out the paint, do not aim to fill your pan completely to the top. I would say aim for 60 to 75% full for your first pass. I do this because some paints, the pigments, they'll crack a little bit and some will shrink a lot. And so I don't want to fill it all the way to the top so that I can figure out how the pigment is, and then I can troubleshoot so that I can make it sort of as smooth and nice as possible, because we're going to kind of work in layers over time. And layers are going to help you get the best effect. So once you've squeezed it in there, I would tell you, and while you're squeezing it, try and really get it into the corners, get it down at the bottom of the pan, and do that. All right, let's see. And then also, ultimately, I would say even at the end, I would aim to not have your pan 100% full in your set, because when you put it in that set in your palette, there's not a lot of room to work, especially if you're working with half pans. Your palette is going to get kind of crowded. And so sometimes it's nice when there's a little divot in your pan so that there's room for the water to pool and there's room for you to really put your brush down and load up your brush with color. And you can do that without splashing it and getting it on the neighboring colors. So some artists actually know in their process they use a lot of water, and so they will actually leave space intentionally, but a lot of space, and even dry their half pans or full pans at a slant. So they intentionally leave room for their brush. The good news is doing this is very easy. All you have to do is get an object ahead of time that you can put your pan on and rest it as it's drying at an angle. So, for example, something that I've used a lot is a stack of Post-it notes. You could also maybe use a pen or an eraser or something like that. But I love using a stack of Post-it notes because it's really stable. And I would put one side of the palette up on the Post-it notes, and then the other side, not the palette, sorry, one side of the pan up at an angle on the Post-it notes, and the other side of the pan is just resting on your desk. So it creates a nice little incline. And what that's going to do is sort of create a slant in the paint as it dries. So do remember this is an option. And as you're experimenting with your palette and your preferences, just know that if you're ever finding yourself wishing that you had more space to load up your brush to get a nice juicy load of color on your brush, well, this is a trick that you should definitely try. All right, so remember there will always be probably a little bit of shrinkage in your pan, and it's going to vary by the color and the pigment and the brand. And you can always come back later and make a second or third layer to fill up the pan to your desired level. Personally speaking, I always do multiple fills because I don't know, I like to have a nice looking palette, and I find when I do multiple layers, I can get a really nice looking pan. All right, the next step. This is the magical step. I want you to add some water and mix. So, using the pipette or dropper, drop a few drops of water into the pan with your paint. Now, start with just a small amount. You can always add more water if needed. Now, use your palette knife or paperclip end to mix the water and paint together until you achieve a smooth, consistent consistency. Okay, so you're gonna have your paint, you're gonna squeeze it into your half pan or pan. Now I want you to take your pipette, add a few drops of water, and stir. Okay, you're gonna get a nice, smooth consistency. The next step, I think this is step six, is sort of lay it flat on your desk, and then I want you to lightly spritz it with water from your spray bottle. Give that pan a light spritz of water using your sprayer because this will help the paint settle and eliminate any air bubbles that you see on the top of the watercolor. It does something with the surface tension. I'm not exactly sure what. I didn't look into the science. I just know that I tried it and it works. So I'm not questioning the process at this point. All right, and then step 7 is to simply let it dry. Allow the pan to air dry at least, I'd say, 24 or 48 hours. The paint will firm up as it dries and create your solid watercolor pan. Do you remember during this step, you have the option of tilting it if you want to create a slant. You can also just not fill it all the way to make sure that you leave space for your brush and for some water and agitation there. All right, so you let it dry. Step 8 is to repeat the process for each tube watercolor that you want to convert into a pan. Repeat the entire process to get your desired fill level in each pan. Oh yeah, I guess there's an intermediate step there. Is after you let it dry, if you want to add another layer, you just do the same thing over again. You just add layers until you have it how you want it. And then step 9 is simply to enjoy your custom watercolor palette. Your homemade pan watercolors are now ready to use. And of course, you can arrange the pans in your watercolor tin in a way that makes sense for your color palette. These pans offer the convenience of pans, but yet you still can enjoy the full color range of tube watercolor paints. Simply wet your brush, pick up the paint from your pan, and paint away. I love this. I love the process, and I love it because also you can create custom mixes and put them into pans as well. That really lets you tailor your palette to your preferences and your artistic style. It's also a fantastic solution for expanding your color choices without actually spending more money on more watercolor tubes. So don't forget, you can mix watercolor. I would tell you before creating a pan watercolor of a mixture, I would tell you to really learn what mixture it is you're aiming for and start small. So let's say you want to, I don't know, mix a purple and you have a red and you have a blue. First, experiment and try and figure out, are you aiming for like a 50-50 mix or is it a 25-75% ratio? Learn the ratio of mixing first and how to mix it, and then you will be much more prepared to actually turn it into a pan because you'll know how to mix a color in a greater quantity and know that you never have to fill up a pan all the way. So you can just try and experiment. You can get pans on Amazon really cheap. Again, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to my favorite empty watercolor pan set by Meaden on Amazon. It's fantastic. And I talked about that in the last episode. I think that's episode number 68, which if you haven't listened to is a great companion episode to this episode. So I would tell you to listen to 68 on create a custom watercolor palette, tube versus pan watercolors, if you have not already. All right, but that is going to wrap up today's episode. I hope you have enjoyed it, and I hope that this helps to unlock a little more about the world of watercolors for you. I love playing with watercolors. I hope that this is helpful. So please leave me 5-star rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts if you're listening. Hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. And yeah, follow me on Instagram. You can find me there or on my email. Instagram is at Lauren Christine Art, and my email is laurenchristineart@gmail.com. Again, Christine is spelled with a K. All right, my friends, until next time, happy creating.